For the sermon of this morning, brothers and sisters, we take our focal point in verse 7 of the passage that we read together, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We look through that window into the chapter and into God's Word. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the transition from one year into the next, brothers and sisters, always is a special moment. It calls for the contemplation of the notion of time or of the purpose of life. We tend to reflect on the progress in history or meditate on the fact that we have come closer to the feast of Christ's return. We are not the only ones, though, who engage in such contemplation. Also, most newspapers present their special reviews. These reviews present the facts as they appeared. We, however, see in these facts, the events, the sign of Christ's coming. Hence, at this time of transition from one year to the next, we look at the goal of history, the last day of the judgment of all men. You see, beloved, not just newspaper editors write reviews of historical moments and events. In heaven, God also writes His reviews in His books. He reviews your and my life. That review differs from ours, most likely. We would probably want to hide or flee when we read His review. We would flee in shame, due to our many sins, doubts, and rebellion. God even looks behind the facts which we observe. And the conclusion to His review is, "I am going to judge all people." We have moved closer to that judgment. "The end of all things is near," says our text. Christ is coming soon to judge the living and the dead, Peter writes in verse 5. The living are those who have lived daily washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb, while the dead include those who knew the Lamb, who may have confessed the Christ, yet who did not find their life in Him. Indeed, on the day of judgment, the central issue will be the question, what we have done with the Christ in our life, with the work of Christ, with the Word of Christ. There is a way to this end of all things, beloved. In Christ, this is the way of life. Without Him, we remain in death. Also in the new year, we move ahead on this way. The Word of God is coming to us to exhort us concerning the manner, the approach we should take as we continue on our way to the end of all things. I proclaim to you the Word of God in our text as follows. Christ urges His church to look ahead to the end, with, first of all, endurance, secondly, soberness, and thirdly, prayers. So I summarize the message of this morning as follows. Christ urges His church to look ahead to the end, with endurance, our first point, soberness, our second point, and prayers, our third point. So looking ahead with endurance. The end of all things is near. Why does the Apostle Peter say this, brothers and sisters? What does he mean? Is that really so encouraging? The end of all things? Isn't that too bad? Are there lots of things which you would not want to see end? Oh, sure, the end of your struggle with illness, the end of wars or rumors of wars, the end of financial hardships, but all things? Also the nice things like marriage, happiness. Imagine that you are just married. The end is near. You just received a baby. The end near. You're about to graduate. So all the sweating was for nothing? That doesn't sound very encouraging. Actually, we would not mind to be around yet for a while. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, we should first have a closer look at Peter's addressees. The exhortation is coming to them first. Keep courage. The end is near, Peter says to them. Now, that doesn't mean that Peter knows when that will be. Peter isn't living with the idea either that the end is coming soon. No, Peter knows that we are living in the last dispensation. We are living in the last days. How long this era will last, Peter doesn't know. He doesn't say that either. Peter was living in the awareness of the Lord's coming manifestation on the clouds. And he wanted that the believers in the last days should have their eyes directed at that too. Ever since Christ came on earth and completed his work, the end came near. Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 20, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Ever since he ascended into heaven, God's work has been in its last phase. Whatever happened since happened to come to the final day, to the end, the ultimate goal of all history. No, beloved, decisive in our text is not how many days are still to come or years, but decisive is the fact that Christ came, that he completed his work, and that he ascended towards his return. For that means that the end has come and is here. Now, to whom does Peter say this in the first place? In chapter 1, verse 1, we read that he addresses strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, etc. Why strangers? Well, ever since their conversion to God, they became strangers, different from the people in their surroundings. The people with whom they chummed around don't know them anymore. They became estranged from them. Chapter 4, verse 4. To them they became so different, so strange, and so dull. Mind you, the label strangers also became a name of honor to them. They knew themselves taken up in the history of faith and salvation. And in that history, Abraham, the father of all believers, was known as a stranger and sojourner in this world too. That's what they are now too, these Christians. Though still in the world, they belong no longer to the world. They belong to another world. Their citizenship is in heaven. They look forward to another country and are strangers in their present surroundings. And the world let them feel that too, that they did not like this estrangement. It irks them, especially that these Christians are even proud of it. It aggravates them, leading to abuse, slander, and hatred. And the result of it is persecution, discrimination, hostility, which means suffering for the Christians. No wonder, beloved, these people need encouragement. No wonder they lose courage so once in a while. Who would expect this? Here you turn to Christ, the one way of salvation. You turn to serve the only God, the true one in whose power all things are and move and have their being. You have the greatest promises of salvation. And what is the result? Suffering, trouble, subjection to all the wiles of the evil one instead of to the power of God. No wonder they are desperate. You see, then Peter comes to them to tell them, don't be discouraged or confused. Your sufferings are natural, normal. They prove that you are a true Christian. Just like Christ suffered in the flesh, so Christians have to suffer in the flesh. The same lot that befell the Master falls on his disciples. Why? Because no longer do you want to go the ways of the flesh. You don't want to party any longer, living it up to your own pleasures. Now don't forget, Peter adds, they will be judged for this. That judgment will bring an end to all the sufferings too. Yes, Peter emphasizes the end of all things is near. For all people there is an end to their life. So keep courage. Endure. Keep it up. Don't look at the facts in themselves. Don't look at the things as they appear. Look at the situation in the light of God's plan, of God's promises. Yes, brothers and sisters, everyone should realize that there is an end to this life on earth. The end of life, the end of the world, the end of all things will bring to light the goal of your life, the purpose of all things. That's what Peter stresses repeatedly in his epistle. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Chapter 1, verse 9. Remember that in these last days. Don't lose hope, don't lose courage, and don't lose time either. Now that you are heading for the grand finale, the final manifestation of the salvation in Christ. So don't give up. The present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us in us. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can understand that the addressees were losing courage. Just imagine what they had to go through. Consider yourself. How easily don't we say, when some adversity or hardship befalls us, why does God do this? What's he trying to tell me? How easily don't we become discouraged, thinking that this cannot be, considering all the promises and merits of God in Christ? Where is God's blessing? You see, then we must be encouraged with this word of God. Don't despair. God is working to the end, to the outcome, to the purpose, also with your life. In misery also, Peter says, there is a blessing. In suffering also, all things work together for good for you who love him. And this good, however, may show only when you have come to the end of your life. Keep courage, for God is coming to this end. God is bringing all things to their end, their purpose. Your marriage, your happiness, but also your suffering, your loneliness, your sorrow. Let's remember this, brothers and sisters, at this time of transition to another year. As children of God, we still are becoming strangers more and more. Our faith in God, in His Word, puts us more and more in isolation. It seems as if all things are giving way to corruption. It seems as if the devil is in control more and more. Yet with our text, we know the end of all things is near. Even if it still takes a long time in coming, the end is coming. We have progressed and come closer to it. However, let's not just look at the greater isolation, estrangement due to the growing apostasy. Rather, let us heed Peter's follow-up to this exhortation as well, the verses 8 and following. Since the time is near, intensify your contact with your fellow believers. Intensify your congregational life. Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Our text has been considered a bridge in Peter's discourse, a bridge between his exposition on the sufferings of the believers and the new life in Christ, the life that's lived here and now in the midst of the congregation. Over against the licentiousness, the lawlessness, and estrangement, he places the new norm of life, the new life for which we are longing. In the congregation, therefore, we can apply all our love and compassion, all our gifts and service, so that God may be glorified already in a life through Jesus Christ. Well, isn't that the glory which we seek, beloved? Isn't that the desire of our life, namely to live it perfectly and completely in such a way that God is glorified by it totally? Rather than the defiled and imperfect way in which we often serve Him now? Let's go on in our life encouraged. There will be an end to all imperfections. Let's continue in the power of Christ. We may know that God has written in his year review that He has done all things in 2015 with a view to the end. That's why He placed a cradle in your life, or not. Or a grave, a sickbed, adversity, or prosperity and success. With a view to the end, we needed sorrow or joy. Our sorrow was imperfect, and our joy was imperfect. The end is near, however, when all sorrow will disappear and all joy will be made perfect. In faith, that prospect is certain. The end of all things is near. We believe this, and that faith makes us sober too. Sober about all things that happened in 2015. Sober also about all things that will happen in the year 2016. That is our second point, looking ahead with low soberness. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Peter commands us to be of a sound mind, sober-minded and self-controlled. Essentially, that is one and the same thing. Keep sane and sober. Peter wants to say, as it were, keep cool. Consider the situation with sound and sober reason. Don't become confused by the reactions of the world. Don't start doubting because of things that seem to contradict God's promises. There is suffering, sorrow, adversity, hardships. Be sober-minded. Don't look at what you see, but consider it in faith. In chapter 1 already, the Apostle Peter writes, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, for be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." In chapter 5, he repeats that exhortation. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's what we have to see in this world, in your life. These are the two powers at work today. The revelation of Jesus Christ is being worked out, and as a result of it, the devil knows that the time is becoming shorter by the year. Therefore, the power intensifies. Don't be surprised when you see that happening. If you're not sober, you'll see things wrongly. If you're not sober, you consider things the way people do when they are drunk. They are either happy drinkers who distort things to make them look better, or they are nasty drinkers and become depressed about everything. Be sober-minded. See things realistically in the right proportions. Be sober and sane. Brothers and sisters, maybe this exhortation surprised Peter's addressees. And perhaps it also surprises you. For what is the case? Usually, the world tells the believers to wake up, to be sober-minded, to become realistic. Generally speaking, people in the world say that believers are insane. I mean, who allows himself to be persecuted? For what? Everyone who believes is mixed up. Isn't faith crazy? When you believe things which you don't see, which you can't prove? How often can't we hear it? Hey, get with it. Be realistic. In the world, you have to be aware of what is going on. You have to know the forces in the economy and psychology. You have to face the battle for survival with prudence, cleverness. Therefore, it should fit the people of the world better to say, be sober and sane. Keep your faith for Sunday, perhaps, or for when you're old. But otherwise, get with it. Wake up. Now here, we hear Peter say, be clear-minded. Come down to earth with your faith. For the reality of your faith, that's the only true reality. Only by faith you know what's really going on. So don't listen to these so-called pragmatists who tell you to get with it. As believers only, we know what's going on. In scriptural soberness, look back at 2015 and see the meaning of wars and rumors of wars, of earthquakes, floods, etc. Be sober and recognize in the light of God's word what powers are at work in the children of disobedience. Be sober. Sure, there was sorrow, sickness, suffering. Now, don't start doubting God's promises. The devil may whisper, indeed, well, what about the facts? What about your prayers, your faith? Did it help? Forget about it. It doesn't help you anyway. Be realistic. Then our answer must be, Satan, we are sober-minded. That's why we look past these adversities. For behind all things we see our faithful God and Father, who is using all things to come to the end of all things. That's what we believe. The facts, beloved, yes, indeed, these are the facts of faith. In faith, we know that Christ rules and Christ will be ruling till the end. By faith, we trust in his word, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. He controls the world in Iraq, in Syria, in North Korea and Sudan. He is in control in Canada and the US. He also leads our life in prosperity or in adversity, in health or in sickness. Yes, in faith we look at things differently than the world does. Totally differently sometimes. In faith we know that the things that seem so attractive and convenient actually are not so good for us. A lot of things which make people in the world happy cannot really enrich us as believers. While many other things, which are hard and sorrowful perhaps, may lead us believers on the way of life, helping us to live closer to the Lord. Then in soberness and wisdom we say, see, God's Father's hand was in it. God's Father's heart was behind it. And he has his eyes on the future. He is working with our life to come to the end, to the outcome of it. Therefore, be sober at all times, beloved. That means let us keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and his future. And let us also pray for the coming of that future, which is our third point, looking ahead with prayers. Our text, brothers and sisters, says that we have to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. You see, beloved, if you would lose the soberness of faith, if you would be controlled by the outward appearance of things, if the facts determine your judgment, you would stop praying. For then you won't see Christ any longer behind the things. Then you don't look through the situation, seeing God's Father's hand in it any longer. Or if this world becomes everything to you again, if the things of this world determine your attitude again, you won't long for the end of all things anymore either. Only when you have an open lifeline with God will you see his future clearly. Therefore, by faith and through prayers, your eyes are kept open to the future. However, as soon as the brokenness of this world or of this life disturbs your peace, your prayers will be hindered immediately. Peter shows this, for instance, in chapter 3, verse 7, where he states that a damaged relationship in marriage hinders your prayers. So it can happen that if you don't see your life properly anymore in the light of Scripture, if your relationship with God is damaged, your prayers will cease too. Wrong views, also concerning the nature of the end time, will influence all of life, jeopardizing your prayers first of all. When steadfastness and constant prayer is the attitude of your life, however, Peter poses, you will keep seeing things properly. You will keep things in proportion. The Apostle Peter had heard from his Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the nearer we come to the end, the greater alertness there should be in prayer. Be careful, the Lord Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 34. or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Praying people stay sober. Sober people keep praying. So prayer for the coming of Jesus Christ, beloved, keeps us in the progress of all things to the end. In prayer, we have made progress in 2015. We have prayed and worked. Yes, we have experienced it. It helps to pray and work. We know that. Prayer has taught us that wisdom, that soberness. Prayer kept us alert and helped us see things God's way, hope for God's way, believe in God's promised way. God took us along in prayer, and God continues with us in prayer. Now, in doing so, my brother and sister, He is going straight to His goal, to His purpose with your life. Yes, even if we thought or think that He has taken a detour, or is going on crooked ways even, in faith we see that all things are heading towards the end, His end. When? We don't know, but it is coming. So we continue together, verses 8 through 11, in love for one another, in service to each other. We continue by the strength God supplies with song and prayer. Yet saints, their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Amen.